You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
Jesus is saying that the worries of this life, the cares of this life, and the pursuit of other things other than God, pursuit of money, pursuit of wealth, can literally choke the word where it can't breathe in you. It's choked and its potential is sabotaged. Like the old song says, you are a great big bundle of potentiality. But guess what? If that potential is choked, then you never come into what God has for you.
Do you realize that pursuing what the world values will always lead to disappointment and failure? Instead of falling into this cycle, Pastor Jeff has an alternative. Immerse yourself in everything God has in store for you and be free from this world's rat race. Embrace His favor and let it permeate every aspect of your life. In a world where material possessions and status often measure success, prioritize the eternal riches found only in God's love and mercy. Blossom into the person you've always wanted to be. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of Mark, chapter 4, as he begins his message, Choked by Cares and Worries.
This is his pivotal foundational parable. Look at what he says. Again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables or stories and said to them in his teaching, listen, everybody say listen. Now, if God tells you to listen, you need to listen. He said, here's a story. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened that as he sowed, some of the seed that he sowed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. And then it goes on and says, some fell on stony ground. That's the second seed. And where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no, what everybody? No root. Because it had no roots, it withered away. Now come to the third seed that we're dealing with today. And some seed fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And now we come to the good ground. But other seed fell on good ground. And what happened to it? Because it was good ground, it yielded a crop that sprang up. It increased and it produced. That tells us what God wants you and I to do as Christians. Spring up, increase, and produce. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, Jesus said, if you've got an ear to hear, you need to hear. That means if you hear what I'm saying auditorily, you hear the sound waves. He said, understand what I'm saying to you. Don't just hear it, but get it. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that every person in this room brings forth fruit, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Let me just tell you something about you and God. Jesus said, you did not choose me. Now, I know that you and I, when we go out and give our testimony, you say, well, I got up one day, went out, and I found the Lord. No, you didn't find the Lord. The Lord found you. The Lord found you. And Jesus said in John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Can you say with me, I'm chosen? He chose you. And he said, here's why I chose you, that you would go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit would remain. Now, when he said, I've chosen you to bring forth fruit, what is he talking about? Well, we know he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. I have chosen you that you would be a reflection of me, that you would reflect the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, faith. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You didn't choose me, but I chose you that you would bring forth spiritual fruit, that you would become like my Son. Now, he not only saved you for heaven, but he saved you for a purpose here, now, in this life, that you'd go and bring forth fruit. And also a part of that fruit is that you would be influential for Jesus Christ. I have a major prayer for this church. I pray that God will raise up a church that will be hugely influential for Jesus. I want an influential church. And so, say with me, I didn't choose him. He chose me. And he's got a purpose for my life. Now, in light of that, look what Jesus told in this parable. Here's this parable broken down. Jesus Christ is the great sower of the seed. And once you're saved, you as a Christian are called to be sowers of the seed of the kingdom of God. That means influential. Influential for him. A sower of the seed of the kingdom. That's your call. No matter what you do, if you're a CPA, if you're a plumber, an electrician, if you're a business owner, it doesn't matter what you do. You have the ultimate call of being a sower of the kingdom of God, which means to be influential for him. Now, the seed you sow is the word of God, the gospel of the kingdom. Peter says, you have been born again, not by corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed through the word of God. Right now, I'm sowing seed into this audience through this word. This is the seed of the word of God. It's seed. There is no other word like it. There's no other book like it. This book is completely supernatural. All scripture in it, and it's all scripture, is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable. It is the word of God, God-breathed word. And when you share this word, you're sowing seed. And we have all been called to do it. Now, the soil in the parable is the human heart. And he's given us four kinds of soil, or four kinds of hearts that the seed of the word of God falls on. And we've been talking about them now. This is the third week. The first one is the wayside soil, or the seed sown by the roadside. And that's the hard soil. It's the light, flippant, indifferent hearer of the word of God upon whom no impression is produced. The seed that goes by the roadside falls on the hard ground of a hard heart. And the idea behind it is the seed is never absorbed, never received, never accepted. And the seed never bears any fruit. These people can sit in church all of their life, but the seed is never received in their heart. It never produces anything. They sit there, they can amen you, they can pat you on the back. They can say that they go to church and they're religious, but there's never a change. Nothing ever happens. They're never born again. They're never redeemed. This person, the wayside soil, is the person who is never saved, though they hear the word. Now, the stony soil, the second seed, sown into rocky soil, is the heart that exhibits joy and excitement when they first receive the word of God, but no permanent impression is made when trouble, persecution, trials come. It's plucked up because it had no roots, and so it never bears any fruit. Remember, he wants you to bear fruit. Then you've got the thorny soil, the seed sown among thorns. This is the heart that takes in the word of God. And we're going to see today it's so full of worldly care. It's so full of worries and chasing after other things that even though the word is sown in the heart, it is literally choked out where it never bears any fruit. And then there's the good soil. The good soil is the good heart, the honest heart, the heart that receives and retains the truth and brings forth the fruit that God has called us to. Let me look at this third seed that falls among thorns. Now, I want you to notice with me that we know that he wants us to bear fruit. And notice that three of the four seeds are sabotaged. The devil steals the seed in the first case, uproots the seed in the second case, chokes the seed in the third case, so that the destiny and will of God is never realized. What a tragedy. So how many of you want to be the good soil that brings forth the good fruit? Now, let's look at this third seed for a minute. Other seed, Jesus said, fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Now, later he explains this parable, this particular seed. Now, let's listen to what Jesus said. He said, still others, like seed sown among thorns, they hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke it, strangle it, making it unfruitful. Notice in the first case, the devil steals it. In the second case, it's uprooted. But in this case, it's choked, it's strangled, and it doesn't bear any fruit. How powerful this is. Now, I'm a word guy. I love words. And let me tell you what choked means. It's translated from a Greek word that literally means to strangle completely or to drown something. We've all seen the movies where somebody is strangled. And why are they strangled? What kills them? They can't get any air. Jesus is saying that the worries of this life, the cares of this life, and the pursuit of other things other than God, pursuit of money, pursuit of wealth, can literally choke the word where it can't breathe in you. It's choked and its potential is sabotaged. Like the old song says, you are a great big bundle of potentiality. But guess what? If that potential is choked, then you never come into what God has for you. And I don't want to see anybody here, including myself, miss out on what God has for me because you live once and then you die and then comes the judgment. And so I want to be sure that whatever I do, I fulfill the destiny of God for my life. I don't want to lose it. I don't want it choked out. It's not saying this person is not saved. It's saying that their potential is choked and stifled and smothered and strangled. Now, the thorn-contaminated soil is the soil where the worries of life, first of all, Jesus said the worries of life, distract you. See, this is really, this third seed is all about focus. All about your ability to focus on the right things. You either focus on worry, you focus on riches, or you focus on Him. So Jesus is saying that this thorn-contaminated soil is the one where the worries of life distract our focus and we don't have the ability to concentrate on spiritual things. Our focus on the things of the Spirit. You know the Bible says in Colossians, you have been risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, not on the earth. See, we are to be heavenly minded. And I don't believe you can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I believe the more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you become. So Jesus said, first of all, you got to watch out for those worries because those worries, that worry can choke the word of God in you where you don't focus on the right things. You're focused on what you're afraid of. You're focused on what you're worried about. Did you know that if you read the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, three times Jesus commands us to not be worriers, not be worry warts, not to worry about things? Three times. He doesn't say, I want you to pray about not worrying or I want you to consider not worrying. He says, do not worry. Command. He tells us three times. Now, I got to tell you, this is a confession. I come from a worrying family. My dad was a worrier, a professional. He had his graduate degree in worrying. Now, I love my dad. My dad was a great guy. He's with the Lord now, but boy, could he worry. And his whole family, they were all worriers. Worrying was the way that they learned to respond to stress. I have relatives in New York. If you don't want to worry about it, call them. They'll worry for you and take it off your shoulders. They will worry for you. I mean, they are worriers. You talk to any of them, and in 1 minute flat, you're going to hear what they're worried about. It'll turn you into a worrier. If you're not careful, you'll catch it. But Jesus said, I don't want you to worry. Worry won't solve one thing for you. You can't make yourself taller by worrying about it. You can't make one hair white or black. But as a matter of fact, you worry more, it'll turn it gray. Listen to what Jesus said. Why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Here's Jesus walking down a pathway with his disciples. He's talking about worry. And he turns and looks at a field, and there's flowers in that field. And he says, look at those flowers. Look, guys, look over there. Are they not beautiful? Even a sunflower, is it not gorgeous? He says, look at that. Look how God dressed that flower. He said, if he spent that much time making something like a little sunflower look so pretty, he says, don't you know if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today, thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you? Why do you have so little faith? So here's the first thing we get from Jesus. Don't worry about what you're gonna wear. God will clothe you. God knows what you need before you tell him what you need. Do you think that God didn't know that you needed clothes? That you needed the basic necessities of life? You know, I say all the time, and I'll say it again, there's two things God never says. He never says, oops. And he never says, well, I'll be. When you go to him and you say, Lord, I just need this and I need that, he doesn't turn to the Son and say to the Son of God, did you know they needed that? I didn't know that. Gabriel, did you know they needed that? He never says, well, I'll be. He says, I knew what you needed before you even asked me. I didn't need you to tell me. You needed to tell me so that you can build your faith and watch how I provide for you. Because I can't deny you. If I deny you, I deny myself because you're a part of me. So I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. Don't worry about it. Don't get up and worry about it. Now, the next thing he says, don't worry about, he says, don't worry about your basic provisions. He said, don't worry about these things, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? He says, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. God knows you need food. God knows you need drink. Listen, God knows you need a job. God knows you need money. He knows you need a home. He knows about your bills. He knows about the stresses that are coming against you. He knows about the needs of your life better than you do. And he doesn't say, well, I'll be when you tell him about it. He already knew. And can I go ahead and tell you, your ram is coming up the other side of the hill already. He's going to provide for you. That's when God was named Jehovah Jireh. When Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, and God stopped him. And then Abraham turned and saw a ram caught in the bushes just over yonder. And do you know that the whole while that Abraham was carrying Isaac up that mountain, that ram was walking up the other side of the mountain, and God knew what he was going to need. And when he laid his son on that altar, the ram was right about then arriving just over here. And when he stopped him, God had already provided the ram. He's already got your job. He's already got your raise. He's already got your clothes. He's already got your health. He's already got what you need. He's a provider. And he's a good one. And Jesus said, don't worry about your provision. I'm going to take care of you. So promise number two is he's going to take care of your basic needs. Now listen carefully to Jesus' observation about the trap that worry-driven people fall into. Here's what happens to worriers. These things, Jesus says, dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Now catch that. What things? Worrying about clothes, worrying about what you're going to eat, worrying about what you're going to drink, worried about the cares of this life. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Let me tell you a little secret about you and me. Something dominates everybody's day. Something dominates your thoughts every day. Have you ever noticed when you wake up in the morning, the devil makes a play for your thoughts? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, you're not up for 60 seconds, and all of a sudden, first thing that comes into your mind is something to worry about. What about that money? What about those bills? What about those kids? They're kind of going crazy, aren't they? What about your spouse? What about your marriage? What about this? What about that? What if this? What if that? You know, worry hinges on what if. Worry is a fear. What's that ache you're feeling? Have you worried about that today? The devil will make a play for your mind. And you know what? The devil wants you fellowshipping with what you're worried about instead of fellowshipping with God. Did you know the Bible tells us not to fellowship with demons? And did you know the Bible calls fear a spirit? And do you know that when you get up and you worry and you get on that hamster's wheel of worry and you're worrying, worrying, worrying about whatever it is, you're fellowshipping with fear. And God has not given you a spirit of fear, the Bible says, but of power and love and a sound mind. So that's why I say, when you get up in the morning, get with God. No Bible, no breakfast. They go, Pastor, I can't read if I don't eat. Yeah, you can. It's an acquired taste. Just get up and get into the Bible and get your mind set on the things of God so that you're fellowshipping with Him and not with what the enemy wants to put on your mind first thing in the morning. Is anybody hearing me today? I know this is the way people are. Jesus' solution for worry is very simple. Trust God and seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about it. He said, worry will strangle and choke the word of God in your life, or you don't produce any fruit. You don't have time to focus on the things of God. You're too busy worrying. You say, how was your devotional time? Oh, I had a great hour with worry. Somebody said worry is like a dark room where negatives are developed. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. Worry is like being on a hamster's wheel. You're putting all kinds of energy into something, but you go nowhere. You travel nowhere. It settles nothing. So you got to be a good caster. He said, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. You say, Pastor Jeff, how do I stop worrying? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Well, how do I get rid of it? 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, I have East Texas friends here today. In East Texas, you fish. You either hunt deer or you fish. If you don't fish or hunt deer, you can't fit in. And you got to play dominoes on top of that. But when I was in East Texas, pastoring in East Texas, I learned to fish. I learned to bass fish. And in bass fishing, you cast. You cast that lure out there, and you let it sit for a minute, and then you reel it in. Now, that's great for fishing, but it's terrible for casting your cares. Because here's the way most Christians live. They cast that care upon the Lord. There it is. It drops into His hand. Then about an hour later, we're reeling it back. Say, why are you worrying about it? I'm just concerned God dropped off on the job. God's not doing His job. I got to be sure God takes care of it. God does it right. So I'm going to worry about it again. And we reel it back in. No, when you cast a care upon the Lord, you cut the line. And you leave it there. Because if you don't, you're not going to have the ability to focus on the things of God. And that's what it's all about. Say with me, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then it says, all these things, clothing, food, and drink, will be added to you as a side benefit. See, that's what people don't understand. You want to see God move in your life? Put Him first. Now, Jesus said also, not only not worrying about your provision issues, but He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Because tomorrow will bring its own worries. You know that James said, go to now, you who say today and tomorrow, I'm going to go into such and such a city and buy and sell and get gain. He said, when you don't know what tomorrow brings.
Are you truly fulfilling your calling for the Lord and your faith journey? In today's message, Pastor Jeff wants you to know that understanding the Lord is not enough. You must embody His teachings in everything you do. Your faith should permeate every aspect of your life, guiding your thoughts, words, and actions. Step into your calling with dedication and enthusiasm, knowing that every moment presents an opportunity to glorify God and fulfill His purpose for you.
For more teachings and information about this ministry, we encourage you to check out hardwired.org. Pastor Jeff Wickwire has many more messages there. You'll find them under the audio tab. This will surely help you be encouraged in the Word. Once again, that's hardwired.org. We want to invite you to come back again next time for another teaching from Pastor Jeff. Daniel has more on that, giving you something to look forward to.
Our culture often suggests that merely knowing Jesus is sufficient for salvation, but the truth is more profound. In his following message, Pastor Jeff wants you to understand that if you seek something more profound than the superficialities of this world, surrender your heart to him completely. It's not just about acknowledging his existence. It's about embracing his teachings and living according to his ways. Let go of the world's promises. Immerse yourself in God's love. That's all we have for today's edition of Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. If you'd like a copy of today's message, download it from our website, hardwired.org. Be sure to tune in again as Pastor Jeff continues teaching through the book of Mark next time on Hardwired.